From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
And the Lord said, have your wife lay hands on you and pray for you. And then my pride came up. And my wife prayed for me. She don't pray for me. I pray for her. I'm the pastor. And the Lord said, that's your problem, because your pride is starting to come up and it's keeping you away from those that can minister to you. You ask your wife after the service to lay hands on you. She laid hands on me and she's so precious and prayed for me, and bang, that thing was gone. I mean, I'm talking 20 years ago now, and when I was 12.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, we're going to be sharing a message that Pastor Wayne gave back before Christmas, but it's a message that's appropriate any time of the year. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with the message, The Most Unlikely Gift, Margins.
I remember once my wife and I were at a pastor's conference when I was a youth pastor, and I was not feeling good. I'd been tired for a long time, just couldn't get energy up. I'd be sleeping a lot and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so there was an evening service and my wife said, let's go. And I said, oh, I don't have time for this. She said, oh, come on, let's go. I said, I don't have time. I want to just sleep. She said, come on, we can do it. So finally, begrudgingly, I got dressed and we went to the service. And you know, you're sitting there at the service and they're talking, blah, blah, blah. You know, they said, boring, boring. I don't have time for this. And they kept, and then the speaker was talking about how, you know, people were kind of flustered by some spiritual darkness in the New Testament, like demon-possessed people and stuff. And then he said, there's not always people being demon-possessed, but there's people that are demon-attacked or oppressed. And he said, and one of them is a spirit of weariness. All of a sudden, my ear went boop. And he said, a spirit of weariness will attack you and clamp onto you. No, you're not possessed, but it's found a way to attack you, and it's a spiritual thing. You can sleep and you won't get refreshed because it is a weariness of your soul, not a weariness of your body. You can sleep and sleep and sleep, but the weariness of your soul will not be cured by sleep. It'll be cured by prayer and deliverance. And boy, it's like, poof. And I did not hear a thing after that. I just knew that was a word from God. And I thought, you know what? If I never had invested that time, that word would have been spoken and I would have missed it. I'd be still trying to sleep it off and never getting anywhere. And then I thought, oh man, that's for me. I said, oh God, that's for me. What do I do? And the Lord said, have your wife lay hands on you and pray for you. And then my pride came up. And my wife prayed for me. She don't pray for me. I pray for her. I'm the pastor. And the Lord said, that's your problem, because your pride is starting to come up and it's keeping you away from those that can minister to you. You ask your wife after the service to lay hands on you. Oh, what is this, you know? But after the service was done, I remember wrestling with that, and then outside, I remember there's a cement bench here and there's some pine trees here. And I remember exactly where it was, and I explained to my wife what was happening. She laid hands on me and she's so precious and prayed for me, and bang, that thing was gone. I mean, I'm talking 20 years ago now, and when I was 12. That thing has never come back again to mess with me. It was like, bang. And I looked back and I thought, you know what? If I would have just said, I don't have time, then that opportunity I will have missed, and I'd been poorer because of it. The first is to invest. God gives us time. And we let it get stolen. So whenever you catch yourself saying, oh, I don't have time for, stop and say, I do. Something's just stealing it. And I've got to prune that and readjust it, because that seed is being consumed by somebody. And it's not to be consumed. It's to be invested. And so the first, and not only in church or fellowship, but in daily Bible reading. To sit before the feet of Jesus on a daily basis and write and read the Bible daily, because it's there that I get strength. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, that's what he said to the kings. You are to read and write the law daily, that your heart may not be lifted up. Let's read it together here. Deuteronomy 17, go. He must copy these laws on a scroll and read it daily as long as he lives. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming... Yeah, you see, that kind of pride stuff just kind of seeps up and gets onto us. And our hearts get lifted up. And so what the Lord is saying, that you need to sit before Him daily. And boy, how many times in my devotions, let's say I'm wrestling with a problem at the office or at home or with something, and it's in my daily devotions, the very thing I'm wrestling with, you'll get a word for it. You'll go, wow, this is uncanny that I'm writing on the very thing I'm wrestling with. God speaks to me. And you know what? Instead of me wrestling with it for the next 3 weeks or 3 months, because of what God spoke to me, I can deal with it and it's done in a week or less. Devotions don't take time. It saves me time. And devotions don't take time. It gives me back 30, 60, 100-fold. Because what I would have wrestled with in my marriage, something is dealt with in my heart and it's solved the next day. Gave me back 3 months that would have been filled with pain and pride. It's dealt with. And that comes only from taking the time to say, I'm not going to let anything consume or eat this seed. I'm going to invest it in the three fields. And one of them is vertical with Jesus Christ. And then He saved, gives me back 30, 60, 100-fold time. And His power now flows through me rather than me getting frustrated. Stories told of a father with his young 8-year-old son. He's building a stone wall in the backyard and just sort of to test his son and his work ethic. He says, son, you see that rock over there, that boulder that's half buried? Here's a pry bar. You go over there and you kind of pry that thing out and see if you can get it over to me so I can put it in the wall. I'm going to keep working on the stone wall. Now get that stone. Do everything you can now. Okay. And he pried that bar in there. Pulled on it, pulled on it, pulled on it, and wouldn't come up. He hung on that bar with all of his weight. It still wouldn't budge the rock. Came over to his dad. Oh, he said, Dad, I've tried everything. I can't move it. Dad said, no, you haven't tried everything. Go back. So the boy went back and got two pry bars and tried both of them and wouldn't work. And he put his little back up against the rock and pushed with his legs and still wouldn't work. He came back and he was dirty and tired. I've tried everything now, Dad, everything. I can't do it. No, you haven't tried everything. Go try everything. So he went back there and he got the bar and started beating on the rock. Just frustrated. He came back and said, Dad, I've tried everything. Dad said, you haven't. Yes, I have. No, he said, you haven't tried asking me for help yet. And you see, sometimes we get so frustrated with life. We can't do it. It's impossible. I've tried everything. It's impossible. But you haven't tried asking me. See, that's what devotions is. You come to the Father, you sit before Him, and He begins to speak to you, and you get His strength with which you resolve things. And devotions don't take time. It gives you back so much time. But you have to be willing to invest it, and then it'll give you back 30, 60, 100-fold. You watch how the devil, who knows this principle, will come to steal. He'll steal your time. So our normal words is, I don't have time for that. Oh, we do. We all have the same amount of time, 24 hours. And God knows that's plenty enough for Wayne to do everything He's assigned Wayne to do. But if I let thieves come in to steal, kill, and to destroy, then I'll say I won't have time. But we do. Well, you say, well, you know, Wayne, I'd like to get up in the morning and do devotions. But, oh, I tell you, I'm too tired. I cannot. What? Yeah. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hand. Morning people. Yeah. How many of you are night people? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's why you came later service. Yeah, today. Yeah. You know, sometimes you say, oh, I don't know. I can't get up in the morning. It's just too hard for me to do that. Let me tell you when your morning begins. It doesn't begin at 5 or 4 or 7 or 8. Your morning actually begins the night before. Huh? Yeah. In fact, would you write in that bullet, start the night before? Because that's actually the way God created this universe. When He created the day, He didn't say it was morning and evening the first day. Because that's how we see it. Oh, this is the morning. Oh, what a beautiful morning. And this is how we start our day. No, your day's half done already according to God's calendar and design. He starts the night before. Let's read what Genesis 1:5 says. Go. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. You know when your day begins? From sundown to sundown. That's one day. Because you think about it. People say, you know, the Sabbath day. Some people say, you got to worship on the Sabbath day. You got to worship on Saturday. No, that's wrong. The Sabbath day isn't Saturday. Oh, it includes Saturday. But the Sabbath is Friday night at sundown. And if you take a look at the people that do their worshiping or Sabbath meal, it's Friday night. And then they just rest on Saturday. They don't go to church on Saturday. Well, why do they do it Friday night? Because of Genesis 1:5, when God creates evening and morning the first day. He starts in the evening. Why? Because he wants your day to begin or be birthed out of rest, not out of activity. Everything that you've been assigned to do starts out of rest. And so that's why he starts it in the evening, so you're rested in order to do God's bidding. But if we stay up till 1 or 2 every morning playing video games, and woe to us Xbox, you know, whatever it might be, Nintendo, then what happens is the devil's stolen a few hours already, and you get up tired and you don't have time to do God's bidding. The best way to do it is this. You remember, tomorrow begins tonight. So you find out, and this is what I do, I find out what I have to do in the morning. I rewind the clock and it tells me when to go to bed. So I'm rested at that moment. I don't get up tired for it. And then if you constantly do that, you will always be behind the rest of your life. You'll always be behind. But if you know how to start the night before, you rest up for the assignments that you have and you move into them out of rest rather than out of weariness. So remember, it starts the night before. So the first is you invest in Jesus. That's the vertical. And the second is, would you write down, here's your horizontal, others. Others. God speaks about others. Let's read what it says in Mark 12. Go. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Here it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. You know, the more I grow in the Lord, the older I get, the more I grow in the Lord sounds better. The more important I realize how critical and valuable healthy relationships are. Because you see, at the end, all you have are relationships with people. And if you've destroyed all of them, you have nothing. Relationships are more critical than you'll ever realize at the end of your life. I remember the story of Pancho Villa, the notorious Mexican outlaw. He was killing everybody. And in the last battle, man, he was riddled with bullets and he's laying there and he's saying, get the padre, quick, get the mia padre. So they quickly get a priest. The priest comes and he says, what do you want me to do? And Pancho Villa says, I want to go to heaven. And the padre says, but you are a murderer. You kill people. He said, but I still want to go to heaven. The padre says, well, have you forgiven all your enemies? And the big smile comes over Pancho Villa. I have no more enemies. I have killed them all. You can't do that. Relationships are the most important things, and that's a great commandment. I watch how, because I'm a pastor, I watch many people. I sit with them as they're dying. And you know what they'll often say? I need to get my relationship right with my dad. We haven't spoken to one another in 2 years. I got to get my relationship right with my cousin. I got to get my relationship right with so-and-so. And you just name it. Isn't that right? At the end, they got to get relationships right. And I'm so glad for that. But one of the ways I live is I fast forward the tape and see what's important at the end of life. What do people say it's really important just before they die? Well, one of them is relationships, being clean. And I think, okay, if that's the most important, because when you're about ready to die, you come to the most important things in life. And then what I do is I rewind the tape to where I am now, and I think, I'm not going to wait till I die before I get them straight. Why don't I get the relationships great now, and then I can enjoy the benefit of having great friends for the rest of my life. I can enjoy life and life more abundantly. That's why he came. But the devil will steal that. Now, I'm glad you're getting it right at the end of life, but rewind the tape and let's do it now. And God says, I'm going to give you time that's being consumed somewhere, but I'm going to give you time so that you can actually invest it in keeping relationships healthy. Make sure that the relationship within your marriage is healthy. Take time for that wife. Take time for that husband. Because you'll fall out of friendship with one another before you fall out of love. And what happens is you still have the shell of marriage, but there's no life in the marriage. The relationship, nothing there. It's empty. So we have parenting, kids, marriage, but inside the relationships have crumbled. It's dry and barren. And God is saying, no, I've given you time to invest in three fields, one vertical with Jesus, two with others, to keep relationships alive within the shell. Because in the end, that's what's most important. And if it's just barren, you have nothing. Even though you were married and though you had kids, you have nothing. So see what's important at the end and then rewind it and get it right now. Because then you can enjoy it. So I think, you know, it's sort of like, let's say you have this super baggy suit and the sleeves come way down here and the pants are four sizes too big, so you got to hold it up and you go to a wedding. Oh, hello, hello. Oh, your suit is so big. Yeah, I know. Before I die, I got to get this thing tailored. I tell you, before I die. And so you go to the next wedding, same thing. Sleeves hanging down. You look like an Ewok. You know, you look like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And the thing's real. Then you, oh man, before I die, I got to get this thing tailored. And so finally you're dying in your bed. Oh, please, before I die, get that suit tailored. Okay, they come, a tailor comes and pins it all up and fits it real good to you, and you're laying in your bed. Oh, man, this looks good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you. And you die. Think, what good is that? Now you're just laying in your casket with this tailored suit. What about your whole life? No way. Don't wait till you die before you get it done. Rewind the tape, get it fit now, and then you can look good the rest of your life. And so it is with relationships with others. You say, well, where do we start? Would you write in your first bullet? Start with those you're grateful for. Just those you're grateful for. In everything, give thanks, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For this is God's will for you. What? To give thanks or to be thankful. But make sure you tell people, because God gives you time to invest in a relationship, to stop and tell them that you're grateful for them. How many people come through your life and you never tell them that you're grateful for them? And they go by, and the friendships that could have been so powerful, so filled with life, now remain barren or just potentially there but dormant because I didn't take the time to call a friend to let someone know how much I appreciate them. And they never know. Just don't think it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah, everybody say, say so. Yeah, just say so. Chinese word, say so. And so, you let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Which means you got to take time to say that to somebody. Your wife, you just don't think it. You know, oh, I really think that person is nice, but I'm not going to say nothing. Just think it. That doesn't help anybody. You got to say it. And speak it. Take the time to write a note of appreciation. Well, I don't have time. Yes, you do. Something's stealing it. There's three fields that God wants you to invest seed in to bring you 30, 60, 100 fold. And I promise you that, the Lord says. But those are the fields. And you got to invest it in others. And if you don't, it'll be consumed. And what would have been potentially great will never come to pass because you invested in something that gives you nothing in return but barrenness. Just time expended. But I want you to invest it in others and those that you're grateful for. So just don't think it. Can't do that. Doesn't do anything. You got to say it. Just like a wife that spends all afternoon making a beautiful dinner for the husband. And the husband comes home, no paper plate, porcelain plate, real kind of forks and knives, not plastic. And napkins like cloth. And there's candles burning. And she's made a beautiful dinner. And she puts it out there and she's waiting. And the husband sits down and starts eating it. He's thinking, oh, this boy is good. Man, this is good. I'm not going to tell her, but this is good. And she's waiting. Oh, man, this is good. Yeah, good. And then he's pout. Oh, man, that was good. That was good. And she's waiting. And he's just thinking. He goes up to his room. She's thinking. You throw a fork at him is what she's going to do. You can't just think it. You got to what? Say it. And you begin by investing time and energy into others that you're grateful for. And the others, those who are hurting or neglected. Did you write that in the next bullet? Those that are hurting or neglected. Watch for those that are hurting. Someone sitting on the side, just give them a good word. Just stop and say, know that you're loved. Jesus loves you. You're great. thank you for who you are. Just anything. Just give them a word. You say, yeah, but I know people that like are hurting or in my own family that might feel neglected, but I'm not a counselor. You know, I don't know how to give them like a session. I can't give them a speech or a talk, or I'm not a clinical psychologist. I don't have that time. Well, you don't have to give them a whole session. Give them just a word. We can do that. Because that's what the Bible says. Let's read what it says here. Read it with me. Go. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Underline that. A good what? Session. A good what? A word. A word. And we can all do that, but it has to be a word, not a thought. Oh, good job. No. You say that. And you begin to invest in others. And God says, if you do, I promise, I'll give you back 30, 60, and 100 fold. So that's vertical, horizontal, and the last is pivotal. Would you write down you? To take time to invest in you. Because there's going to be times in life we will ebb in our strength. We'll get weaker and weaker sometimes. But the Bible says this. Let's read what it says. Go. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become. Yeah, each of us need to be renewed. Time to be renewed. And so you take time to just renew yourself, to get away. Just the other day, I got on my motorcycle at 6:30 in the morning and just started riding towards the rising sun. And it was so pretty. And I'd stop at Makapu and sit there and just kind of breathe in the ko'olau's and the beauty of the ocean and the rising sun. And it was so refreshing. Because you see, you are pivotal. If you're unhealthy, what kind of decisions are you going to make? Unhealthy. If you're tired, what kind of decisions are you going to make? Tired. If you're wacky, what kind of decisions are you going to make? Wacky. Yeah, if you're sick and tired, guess what everybody looks like to you? Sick and tired. If you're mad at the office, guess what you're going to be on the H1? Mad at everybody. That's right. Because it starts with you. And if you don't take time to renew your heart, it's going to be pivotal because it affects everybody else. And so take the time to be someone who will renew their own spirit before the Lord. I don't have time for that. Yes, you do. You cut it out. God's given everybody enough time. And when you're able to say, hey, wait a minute, this is seed for the planting. This is time for the investing. And there's three fields that God will promise 30, 60, 100 fold. That's in Jesus and others and yourself. Those are the three fields. And to help you to remember what those three fields are, if you look at each of those entries and take the first letter from each, it spells what? Joy. Jesus, others, yourself. If you remember joy, I need some joy in my life, then invest in Jesus, in others, and yourself. Time that He's given to you, and you must refuse to let anybody steal or consume, because it's to give back, and He'll give you not just triple or quadruple returns, 30, 60, 100-fold returns. Make sure, otherwise you'll have a barren life. And as you sit before the Lord, His strength will enter you. His grace will enter you. And what you thought takes time, like devotion, it'll give you time. Because no longer is it your frustration trying to figure stuff out. It'll be His strength and His grace. And that's what we want. And you watch. When that happens, if you can catch that, you'll begin to understand the strength of God's grace. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You so much for helping us to be a people of Your grace. But that grace, which is abundantly supplied, is only done so because we understand how to steward time and we don't miss Your grace. In fact, You said if anyone misses Your grace in Hebrews 12:15, this is a root of bitterness will come up and cause many to be defiled or barren. So help us to invest correctly and not miss Your grace and strength as we invest in You, in others, ourselves. So that we'll be a people of grace, Your strength, and we'll see You return to us 30, 60, 100-fold return. Thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God with a clap offering, would you?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Most Unlikely Gift, Margins, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.